আসসালামু আলাইকুম ওয়া রাহমাতুল্লাহি ওয়া বারাকাতুহু। আলহামদুলিল্লাহ আলহামদুলিল্লাহি ওয়া কাফা ওয়াস সালাতু ওয়াস সালামু আলা সাইয়্যিদিনাল মুস্তাফা সাল্লাল্লাহু আলাইহি ওয়া আলা আলিহি ওয়া আসহাবিহি ওয়া বারাকা ওয়া সাল্লামা তাসলিমা কাসীরা কাসীরা। আম্মা বা'দু, ফাকাদ ক্বালা আল্লাহু তাবারাকা ওয়া তাআলা, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون، صدق الله العظيم. علماء الكرام، most respected brothers in Islam, we have been discussing a letter that was written by Imam Ghazali Rahmatullah Alayh to a student of his who had sought advice. You already have heard some of the advices that Imam Ghazali Rahmatullah Alayh gave to this beloved student of his who had spent many years in his khidmat. There are many, many things that he has mentioned in there, but I'm just giving you some of the main issues that he discussed in that letter. And the reason for that is that we always think that plenty of knowledge is essential. We need plenty of knowledge to solve all our problems. There is no doubt that knowledge is extremely important. Without knowledge, a person can't make amal on anything. Whether it's knowledge of deen or dunya, a person has to have the necessary knowledge. But just increasing the knowledge all the time without making amal does not get a person anywhere. And that is the sad part of the state of our community. That at present there is some sort of interest that is created because of the mass media, because of the internet and because of the publications and because of the talks and all kinds of schools and colleges, there is that interest that is created in the increasing of one's knowledge, which is a good sign. But where is this knowledge leading us to? Where is this knowledge leading us to? Is it bringing us closer to our Allah, the Creator, or is it distancing us from Allah? If it is bringing us closer to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then whether it is the knowledge of science or medicine or any other technology, but if it is bringing the person closer to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then it is knowledge. And if it is not benefiting him in any way in this world, or it's not going to even benefit him in the akhirat, then that is not knowledge, it is ignorance. And unfortunately, a lot of our time is spent on what we may term as ignorance, in the acquisition of ignorance. It may sound very difficult to understand, but that is the truth. That if you have to look at our reading of the literature, most of the reading that we do, what are we reading all about? What is our reading enhancing in our lives? Take the newspapers of the day that a person reads. The morning papers, afternoon papers, as I mentioned last night also, that there's so much of reading that we are doing now. Morning papers, afternoon papers, evening papers, this magazine, that magazine, then watching the television, then listening to the news. But what are we increasing by all that knowledge that we are gaining? After listening to all those things and reading all things, what improvement have we made in our lives? Because 80%, or we can safely say that in most newspapers, 90% of all which we read is absolutely useless. Doesn't help us in any way in dunya or in akhirat. Absolutely useless. And especially those who read every article that is in there, every type of filthy article that is in there, all the gossip of the time, all the romantic affairs of the people, and all the other kinds of so-called news items, it brings nothing into the heart except darkness. nothing except darkness. Therefore, Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi tells a student of his that just the increase of knowledge is not sufficient. What you need is an amal on that knowledge. Necessary news items, what is happening in Palestine, what's happening in Bosnia, what's happening in some other parts of the world, or what is relevant to our business affairs, if a person spends a few minutes and reads it, we are not going to say it is haram. But looking at the majority or the major part of the contents of these newspapers, we can say safely that the most of the information that we are accumulating, it is absolutely useless, futile. It's not going to help us in any way. There is no benefit at all. And that again brings us to that first hadith which we had quoted, that there is a sign that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has turned away his glance of rahmat from this person, that he is wasting his time in this type of literature. One person had retired when I was teaching in one town in northern Natal side in the 70s. I'm talking about those days. This person had retired. Retired because his sons took over the business and he was quite comfortable. So he had plenty of time now on his hands, and he was elderly too, in his 60s. So every little item that comes in the smalls column at that time, if you want to know, you must just pick up the phone and ask him, he will give you the information. And he will keep sending me little cuttings from the smalls column, things that we will not even glance at. So I asked him one day, how do you find the time to read this? He says, no, I've got plenty of time. I've got plenty of time now because my sons have taken over the business and they have given me the freedom to walk in and walk out of the business whenever I wish to. So I've got plenty of time. So I read the newspaper from end to end. Now imagine that much of time the person is prepared to spend on those things which are going to be useless. It's not going to help him anyway. Every car, what is the price, even if he's not interested in buying a car? Every item of furniture, what is the price and where it's available, even if he's not interested in buying it? So this is what I'm getting at, that this is the sad state of our lives, that we are spending a lot of time in absolutely futile and useless activities and literature. Therefore, Hazrat Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi, he tells the student of his that to become a very great alim is not essential, it's farz kifaya. He says it's farz kifaya, if you have a few good ulamas, then it will be sufficient. But it is necessary for every person, every individual Muslim, to have taqwa and to have that much knowledge which is relevant to his business or his family life or whatever activities of life he is engaged in. That what does Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam say with regards to these activities? What is halal, what is haram, what is permissible, what is not? What is pleasing to Allah ta'ala and what is displeasing? He says that is essential. If he says Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, inna Allah la yanzuru ila suwarikum, Allah ta'ala does not look at your faces, وَلَا إِلَىٰ أَعْمَالِكُمْ, neither does he look at your actions, وَلَاكِي يَنْزُرُ إِلَىٰ قُلُوبِكُمْ وَنِيَّاتِكُمْ. Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi quotes this hadith of Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam and says that Allah ta'ala does not look at your faces. In other words, your bodies, your color, Allah ta'ala does not look at all that. That how handsome you are or how ugly you are, Allah ta'ala does not look at your faces. There are other meanings to it too, but I'm not going into details. Allah does not look at your faces. Allah ta'ala does not look at your a'mal. Now we will say Allah doesn't look at our action, and yet we are all the time talking about action. It means that Allah ta'ala does not want to just look at the zahiri a'mal, which is in our lives to some extent. The outward amal is in our lives to some extent. Like we are making namaz now, Salatul Jummah we will make. We make our other namazas, we make a little bit of zikr, some tilawat, some deen activities. Now these are all zahiri a'mal. He said Allah Ta'ala doesn't look at the zahir, at the outward form. The outward form could be plentiful. The quantity could be plentiful. He says Allah Ta'ala looks at your qulub and your a'mal and your niyat. That with what niyat are you making this donation and contribution and charity? With what niyat are you making this salat? With what niyat are you smiling and talking to your friend? With what niyat are you smiling and talking cheerfully with your wife and with your children? In everything there is a niyat. If that niyat is that my Allah will become pleased with me, then it will bring reward, it will bring sawab. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala looks at the niyat, that with what niyat are you doing all these a'mal? Or is it just for show, so that I may be recognized as a pious person, righteous person, good person, so that people will give me loans, so that they will give me their daughter in marriage? Many people begin to frequent the masjid when they are interested in marrying somebody's daughter, and that person is a dindar person, and he has made it known that he is looking for a pious and a good person to marry his daughter, pretty daughter. Then suddenly you find that person namazi. We have had experience of this nature. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala knows exactly with what niyat the person is making amal. And this is what Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala looks at. This is what he looks at. And then Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayh, besides the other things that he has quoted, another hadith which is very close to the one that we discussed last week, in which Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had stated that ishfid dunya, live in this world as long as you wish to, but one day you will have to be separated from this world. Ishma shi'ta fa innaka mufariquhu. Live as long as you wish to, but you are going to be separated. Love whomsoever you wish, love whatever you wish. Whatever you wish and whomsoever you wish. But you are going to be separated. And then, make amal whatever you wish to, you will be rewarded for that amal. If you do good amal, good reward, and bad amal, then bad reward. I've already discussed that part of it. So in this hadith now which he quotes, he says, اِعْمَلْ لِلدُّنْيَا بِقَدْرِ مَقَامِكَ فِيهَا. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that make amal for this dunya as much as you are going to remain in this dunya. Now how long is a person going to remain in this dunya? We have no guarantee whether we will live the next second or the next year. But still, because we are in this world, it is permissible to plan ahead. It is permissible, but have no trust in that plan. So if a person is planning ahead, there is no problem. But to plan so far ahead that he is concerned about his own sustenance, he is concerned about the livelihood of his children, is concerned about his grandchildren, and is concerned about his great-grandchildren. Now he's got so much of plans and such lengthy plans that all his time is now occupied in earning to make sure that his great-grandchildren are also taken care of. And in the process what happens is then the person gets involved in interest-taking and giving, the person gets involved in gambling, the person gets involved in all kinds of haram earnings because he has to make that saving which will be good enough to last the lifetime of his great-grandchildren. Now this is what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is warning us about. That why make so much of amal in this world where you are not going to be living forever and ever? The amount of time that you are going to live in this world is very short. Therefore Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in the second part said that وَعْمَلْ لِلْآخِرَةِ بِقَدْرِ مَقَامِكَ فِيهَا. And make amal for the akhirat as long as you are going to be remaining in the akhirat. This is the, should have been our concern, that our businesses, our homes, our families, everything, they should have been preparing us for the akhirat. So we should make that much amal in this world which will be good enough for us to take to the akhirat. But how many of us are really concerned about the akhirat? Now in the graveyards also we laugh, we giggle, we talk about business in the graveyards. So how way are we going to worry about the akhirat in the masjid now? In graveyards and in masjids also now we talk about our dunya. Business deals are taking place in the masjid. Business deals are taking place in the graveyards. So how are we going to think of the akhirat? Whereas we know, deep down in our hearts, we know that there is an akhirat. So it says, make amal for the akhirat as much as you are going to stay there. And then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, وَعْمَلْ لِلَّهِ تَعَالَى بِقَدْرِ حَاجَتِكَ إِلَيْهِ. And make as much amal for Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala as much as you are in need of Him. As much as we are in need of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that much amal we must make for Allah. Now who is not in need of Allah ta'ala? for our sight, for our hearing, for our speech. Just last night I had a telephone call from one of the towns in Johannesburg, in Transvaal. And that sister says that I had perfect sight. And just a day after Eid, suddenly I went blind. Just suddenly I went blind. A person was traveling to Johannesburg, and on the way, suddenly he got paralyzed. He was driving the car paralyzed, finished. Suddenly something happens. We have got no control over our lives, our sight, our hearing, our speech, our hearts, our liver and our lungs, nothing. We have got absolutely no control. It is just the ihsan and the fazl of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And it is His compassion, His kindness, and His forgiveness and His mercy that He keeps everything functioning. Which one of us now knows exactly what is happening inside? Inside our system, which one of us knows exactly what is happening? Who knows whether his heart will keep on beating till the evening? So we are in need of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala every moment of our lives. So we should be increasing our amal for the pleasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, because we need Him. We need Allah ta'ala's assistance. And in fact, we should not be just buyers and sellers. We should not be just bargaining with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that I am making this amal so that you give me this. I am doing this amal so that you give me that. The love of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala should make us do those amal. That Allah has blessed us with so much, we should have so much of love for Him, that there should be no need for any pressure upon us that make salat, give zakat, go for hajj, fast in Ramadan, be kind and gentle, be humble, be simple, be good, be loving, be caring, be honest, be sincere, be truthful. Now, all these things which are pleasing to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, there should be no pressure upon us to do these things. It should become a natural thing for us. In fact, to commit sins should have become very, very difficult for us. So this is another hadith that Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi quotes. He says that this is the khulasa. This is the khulasa, or it is the essence of 4,000 ahadith. He says it is the essence of 4,000 hadiths. Shaykh Shibli rahmatullah alayhi states that I learned 4,000 hadiths from my asatiza, and he says this is the essence of all that in this hadith. So my brothers, this is our need of the day, that our screaming, our shouting, our jumping and our dancing on the streets when we are angry about something, it is not going to solve a problem. That is the method of the kuffar and the mushrikeen, the Yahud and the Nasara. There are ways that Muslims can express their grief, their sorrow, their anger. Shariat has given us ways and means of doing such things. But together with all that, the most important thing is ruju ilallah. That how much are we making ruju ilallah from whatever is happening around in the world? What lessons are we taking? If a person doesn't feel sympathy, he doesn't feel sorrow, and he doesn't feel grieved at the suffering of somebody that is far away, then this person is not a good Muslim. That is natural. We should feel grieved and we should do whatever is in our power. In fact, for Palestine, Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he is reported to have said that if you can go to Palestine, if you can go to Masjid al-Aqsa and make salat, then go there and make salat. And if you cannot, he says, if you cannot go there and make salat, then at least send some olive oil so that they can light a lamp in that masjid. Now, he spoke about this in his days. That time they used to light lamps for the sake of light. But to interpret that hadith in these days, we would say that in whichever way you can assist in the upkeep of that masjid, you must assist. And if that is what he is saying about the masjid, then what about the people that are residing there? Because just as Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala talks about Kaabatullah, inna awwala baytin wudi'a lin-nas lallazi bi Bakkata mubaraka wa hudal lil alamin. Mubarak, Allah ta'ala uses the word mubarak. There's no time to go into any details, but the first house that was built for the worship of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala was built by the angels. Allah ta'ala asked the angels to build the Kaabatullah first, and he called it mubarak, full of blessings. If we have to look at Masjid al-Aqsa, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala uses the same word. سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى الذي باركنا حوله لنريه من آياتنا. Allah Ta'ala made the precincts of that place full of barakat. If you look at the Kaabatullah, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam and Hazrat Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, two Nabis of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, long after the angels built it and Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam rebuilt it when it came to Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam's time, then again it was Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam and Hazrat Ismail that Allah Ta'ala refers to in the Quran Sharif. Why is here for Ibrahim al-Qawa'id min al-Bayt wa Ismail, two Nabis of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. In the same way, if you look at Masjid al-Aqsa, then Hazrat Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam and Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, two Nabis of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, their hands were occupied in the building of Masjid al-Aqsa. Then there are so many other similarities between Masjid al-Aqsa and Kaabatullah, which there is no time to go into. As far as journeys, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has specifically mentioned that you should not undertake a journey to any other masjid except three masjids: Baytullah, Masjid al-Haram, that is Masjid al-Haram in Makkah Sharif, Masjid al-Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wasallam in Madinah Sharif, and Masjid al-Aqsa in Jerusalem. This does not mean that you cannot go to any other masjid. What it means is that you should not consider going to another masjid as and getting more sawab and more reward except these three masjids. Because in Masjid al-Haram, Baytullah, you will get 100,000 sawab. In Masjid al-Nabawi alayhi salatu wasalam, 50,000 more sawab. And Masjid al-Aqsa, 10,000 times or 1,000, whatever the Hadith Sharif has mentioned. So that is what it means. It doesn't mean that if a person is going to some other masjid, it is haram. But if somebody says that if I go and make my salat in the West Street Masjid or the Grey Street Masjid, or travel from somewhere and come in and make it in Masjid al-Nur, I will get more sawab, then that is not permissible. It is not right to believe in anything like that. These are only these three masjids that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has mentioned, where you undertake a journey for the purpose of more sawab. So we have this deep-hearted affection and the deep-hearted connection with Masjid al-Aqsa and the people that are residing in Palestine. And whatever is happening there, nobody in his sane sense of mind will ever condone those atrocities. We know that it is not Palestine that is fighting the Israelis. It is Palestine fighting not the Israelis but America. Israel can never survive without the backing of America, Britain and all the rest. But still, if the Muslims had that quwwat of iman, if they had that quwwat of iman, that means together with protesting and together with all the other activities, the salat, the du'as, the rujoo ila Allah, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will make the very same thing happen there as happened in Afghanistan. Afghanistan, it was not easy to get rid of the Russian Bey from there. But those people who made jihad there, they followed the sunnats of Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and when they brought that into their lives and they made jihad with taqwa in their lives, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave them almost 99% of Afghanistan. I mentioned one incident. This is just as an eye opener, but we should still not consider ourselves better than them. That when I was there, a few meters away from Masjid al-Aqsa, a Muslim shop selling plenty of liquor. And when I asked that person, that why are you selling liquor? You know it is haram and you're so close to Masjid al-Aqsa. So what was his reply? He says, I know it is haram, therefore I don't use the profits of the sale of the liquor. But it is my duty to provide and take care of the needs of the tourists that are coming to this city. That is just one example. Those who have been there, they can see many other things. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala does not look at just our zahir, He looks at our batin. So we should make a lot of dua for our brothers there, and especially these animals to whom little children mean nothing, innocent women mean nothing. And where did you ever hear of missiles being thrown and gunships being used against innocents or against civilians. But anything goes there. So may Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala assist and help those who are suffering, those who have lost their kith and kin, family members. May Allah ta'ala give them sabre jameel, ajre azim. And those who have become shaheed and martyred, may Allah ta'ala give them the highest abode in paradise. And may Allah ta'ala free Masjid Aqsa and Palestine from the clutches of these Yahud. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.